11. And thank you, choir. And Dalton, you, where are you at? Are you leading? Hey, praise the Lord. Thank God, good. Appreciate that good singing. Thank you, Miss Leanne. Thank you, choir. And those of you that are here this morning early, I do appreciate it. I don't take it for granted. I know how difficult it is to get up early in the morning for those that don't. And anyhow, I told the prayer team, I said I was up yesterday morning at 6 o'clock aggravating Michelle. And so I'm a morning person. She isn't. Is everybody all right? And her car, it ain't our car. I don't want any of the judgment of God to be on my life. It is her car that God judged and struck by lightning. And she needed a ride this morning to church. And I was like, you're going to have to get up early if you're coming with me. And she got up this morning at 6 o'clock. So y'all be real kind to Miss Michelle. We don't want the old man coming back, all right? And I mean that in terminology of Miss Michelle in her unsanctified state, all right? But anyhow, I am thankful that she got on up this morning and come on in, rode on in with me this morning. And I'm thankful that you got up this morning and made it to church. And what a blessing it is. Mark chapter number 11. If you're there, if you found your spot, I want you to say amen.
Amen.
All right, let me ask you this. Where are we at? And don't tell me Mark chapter number 11, all right? Don't you do it, all right? Where are we at in this walk that we've been taking with the Lord as we come towards Jerusalem? What was last week? Anybody remember? Is it too early? Oh, the week before then. Thank you, Miss Jennifer. All right. Where are we at with the walk? Mark 11, she says. All right. And praise the Lord. The triumphal entry. I'm glad y'all listen. All right. I'm glad you listen. Mark chapter number 11. Last week was in Luke, or the week before, was in Luke chapter number 19. We dealt with the triumphal entry. You remember Jesus came to Jerusalem and he rode in on a donkey. How many of y'all remember that? We went through all of that a couple of weeks ago and we talked about our king was coming. Behold, your king is coming. And we looked at Jesus entering into the city of Jerusalem and presenting himself as the Messiah. They were looking for the Messiah. The ministry of the Messiah that they were looking for was that Jesus would come in, overthrow the Roman government, set up his kingdom, set up his throne, and that he would rule forever. That was who they were looking for in the Messiah. Jesus came lowly, Jesus came meekly, and he came to die for you and I. And so this was not the Messiah that they were looking for, and therefore they had a problem with this Messiah. They had a problem with this ministry and what Jesus was here. Jesus says, I've not come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved, all right? Or the world through him, his son, Jesus Christ, might be saved. Jesus said it like this, I come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so he didn't come to set up a government. He didn't come to set up his rule. He didn't come to set up his kingdom. Now, he is going to come. Everybody say amen right there. That's a good spot, all right? He is coming again, all right? Now, first he's going to come in the clouds, according to the Bible. And the Bible tells us that a trumpet's going to sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which remain shall be gathered together or called up with them in the clouds, all right? This is not Jesus' second coming. This is the rapture, all right? The rapture can be studied out in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. It can also be studied out in Revelation chapter number 4. And if you want to see that, come to Bible college. I'll show you some things, all right? His second coming, Jesus will come after the tribulation period. And the Battle of Armageddon will take place. But he will come and his feet will actually touch the earth on the Mount of Olives, all right? And he will walk into Jerusalem through the same gate that he rode the donkey into Jerusalem. And so the Golden Gate or the Eastern Gate, the gate that was beautiful, he's going to enter in to that. By the way, we're still planning on going to Israel in January. Things are settling down over there. If you're interested in going with us, you can see this firsthand. We'll stand on the Mount of Olives and you can look down from the Garden of Gethsemane. You can look down right over into the Golden Gate or the Eastern Gate, and you can see all of this and how it will unfold. But one day, that second coming, Jesus is coming back. And this time, when he enters into Jerusalem through that Eastern Gate, it will be to set up his kingdom. It will be to reign and to rule for 1,000 years, according to the Bible. And after that 1,000 years, Satan will be loose for a season. And during that time, he'll get all the people of the earth gathered together, the nations of the earth, and come against this ruler, this sovereign ruler, God himself, the creator. And he will come against him, and he will be defeated in the battle of Gog and Magog. And from that point on, a new heaven, a new earth, and Jesus will reign forever, just as prophesied in the Old Testament. But here, we seen the triumphal entry last week. And after the triumphal entry, we're going to pick up in Mark chapter number 11. Now, last week, we was in Luke chapter number 19. You can find this story also in Matthew chapter number 21. All right, but it gets confusing because there's actually two temple cleansings. What we're going to look at this morning is the cleansing of the temple. And I called this sermon, Brother Matt, Cleaning House, all right? This is what this thing's entitled, is Cleaning House. And of course, we know Jesus came and he, remember when he made the whip? I need somebody to help me. That meek and lowly Jesus made a whip. That Jesus that everybody always tells me I'm supposed to turn the other cheek. That Jesus, he came and made him a whip. I need somebody to say amen. Now, I don't know why he would need a whip if he was so much a sissy. Is everybody all right? I need somebody to hear me. I'm thinking he didn't make it just for looks. I'm thinking, is everybody all right? I'm thinking he might have used it. Is everybody all right? So in the name of Jesus, when y'all start talking about me and say, hey, preacher, you're supposed to act like Jesus, just remember, there was a time he made a whip and started beating on people and threw tables out. Is everybody all right? And so just keep that in mind. But anyhow, here is a different story because here Jesus doesn't break out the whip, all right? And by the way, let me just go ahead and say this. Over in John chapter number 2 where the whip comes in, Jesus is sitting over there making the whip while he's looking around. I need somebody to help me. I need y'all to see Jesus real quickly if you can, sitting over there on the side going, I'm going to bust you up just as soon as it. Anyhow, all right, let's get to Mark chapter number 11. All right, I'm kidding, by the way. All right, Mark chapter number 11. Let's begin our reading in verse number 12. Or actually, let's start our reading in verse number 11, and just so we understand. So if we were to go back earlier in Mark chapter number 11, we would see the triumphal entry. Right at the end of the triumphal entry, all right, is verse number 11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem. That's the triumphal entry. And into the temple. He went inside the temple. And when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. All right, so he comes in the triumphal entry. He walks into the temple. He looks around. The Bible says it was evening. It was getting late in the evening. And he looks around at everything in the temple, and then he leaves with the disciples and goes back to Bethany, back where Mary and Martha and Lazarus are from, all right, which we covered just a few weeks ago when we were in Martha and Mary's house, all right. Now, he goes back, and this is, that is the same day as a triumphal entry. So now we pick up on verse number 12, and on the morrow. So this is the next day after the triumphal entry. So he looked around, he went in, he went into the temple, he looked around, and he left. And he comes back. Is everybody with me? And the Bible says, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, the fig tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. All right? So they're coming back to Jerusalem. He leaves, he goes to Bethany, he spends the night, he gets up the next day, he's coming back into Jerusalem. The Bible says that he was hungry. The Bible says that he looks over and there's a fig tree with leaves, all right? The fig tree with leaves would signify that there was fruit on it, all right? So when he gets to the tree that has leaves on it, that looks like it should have fruit on it, he finds no fruit upon the tree. And so he curses the tree. Now there was many other trees in Israel that had leaves. So he wasn't cursing the tree because it had leaves. There was many trees in Israel that had no leaves. And so he wasn't cursing this tree because it had leaves or it did not have leaves. He cursed this tree because it had the appearance of having fruit, but it had none. It looked like it had fruit, and it should have from the appearance of the tree. But when he got to it, it had no fruit thereon. This was a picture of the religious system of Israel. It looked like there was substance to it, but when inspected, it had none. And so Jesus is not only cursing the fig tree right here, but he's walking into Israel, and we are going to see him curse the temple as well, all right? And I'll show you this just in a few moments. And so this fig tree and this pronouncement of a curse upon this fig tree is relevant to what is about to happen. Now, of course, we can go down in Scripture and we will read through verse number 20, but we can go down in Scripture and we can see that that curse was fulfilled and the next day and they came upon it and it had withered and died. The tree was gone, all right? And then Jesus told them concerning their faith, he talked to them about how if one had the faith of a mustard seed, just a small faith, you could say, mountain, move out of my way, and it would move, all right? But here, we're looking at this cleansing of the temple. And so we have to get this as we're walking to it. Verse number 15, and they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. Last verse. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, I'm not going to deal with the fig tree this morning, but I just wanted you to understand that everything that Jesus did was showing us something. It wasn't just, he didn't curse the tree just to play around and show that he had the power to do it. Is everybody all right? There was a purpose to that. Now, as Jesus comes in to this cleansing, this is actually the second cleansing of the temple. So see, we'd have to go back to John chapter number 2 to find the first cleansing of the temple. And so if we were to go to John chapter number 2, how many of you know chronologically John chapter number 2 is the beginning of Jesus' ministry here on earth? Many of you would know this, that John chapter number 2 is where Jesus turned the water into wine. It was the first miracle that Jesus had performed, all right? It was the first miracle that he performed because his mama asked him to do it, amen? And he told his mama, he said, I'm not ready yet. My hour is not come. It's not the time. But when mama says something, I need somebody to help me. He did what mama asked, all right? But the Bible tells us in John chapter number 2, then the verse number 13, right after turning the water into wine, the Bible tells us, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, this is where he sat over there in the corner making a whip. Is everybody all right? He drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold dove, take these things hence. Listen, make not my father's house a house of merchandise, all right? And so the Bible says, and his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. And so Jesus, in his first start of his ministry, goes into the temple and he cleanses the temple. The Bible says he makes a scourge, or he makes a whip, if you will, and he drives out those that are in the temple selling goods and the money exchangers. Now, we have taken this, and a lot of people have taken this and said, well, bless God, if you sell anything in the church, then you're doing the same thing they were doing in the temple. No, you're not. Because what they were doing in the temple where they were exchanging, they were feeding off of, they were price gouging, all right? Everybody had to pay when they come to the temple. Everybody had to purchase a lamb for their atonement. But what they did was they were taking their cut of the money that was coming in. This was the money exchangers. They were taking their cut of the money that was coming in, and therefore they were robbing the people that were obeying the law to come and to offer sacrifice, especially at this time during the Passover. And so this is where Jesus was very upset. It was also done in the temple itself, in the outer courts. The outer courts was the only place that the Gentiles could come and that the Gentiles could meet. They were not allowed into the temple proper. They were not allowed into any area of the temple except the outer court. So what these exchangers and all these people had done was they had taken over the outer courts and made it a big, huge marketplace. And this is the reason that Jesus said, my house is to be a house of prayer. Why? Because it was the only place, and he said this, how many of y'all remember, all nations should call it a house of prayer. That's referring to the Gentiles. They were to have a spot in the temple as well, but they could not get into the temple for the money changers and for the people that were selling animals and had brought all the animals and all the exchange, all the money into the outer courts of the temple and had set it up in the place where the Gentiles were supposed to be able to come and pray to God. And so when Jesus comes in the first setting in John chapter number 2, he sets the record straight and he says this. How many of y'all caught this in his words right here? He said, let me get it back where I can find it. Verse number 16, if you can throw it up there for us, and would not suffer that any, I'm in John 2, babe. I'm sorry. I get to call her babe. That's my wife. Sorry about that. All right. All right. John chapter number 2, verse number 16. All right. So, and he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Listen, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. But now go back to Mark. Now when we go back to Mark chapter number 11, Jesus says something completely different. He says in verse number 17 of Mark chapter number 11, verse number 17 of Mark chapter number 11, and he taught saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. So Jesus tells them in his first visit, don't make this. Is everybody all right? He said, don't make this. In other words, it ain't gotta be bad. It ain't got to go any further. But now he comes back the second time and he says, you've done exactly what I told you not to do. Does everybody get that? Amen. So there was two temple cleansings. There was two. And the funny thing is that this is where everybody wants to argue the legitimacy of the Bible. They want to offer an argument that the Bible was not true because these instances were so different. But yet, the Bible's very clear there was two cleansings. There was one at the beginning of his ministry, and then there was one that took place at the end of his ministry. All right? And so we want to look at both of them, but we want to look at both of them in light of the Old Testament. And to do that, I mentioned this last week, we have to go back to Leviticus chapter number 14. If we were to go back to Leviticus chapter number 14, we would find a law concerning leprosy. Matter of fact, the entire chapter of Leviticus chapter number 14, I'll be in verse number 33 to begin with, Miss Michelle, but the entire chapter of Leviticus chapter number 14 is dealing with leprosy and the cleansing of leprosy and how it was to take place by the high priest. But we come to a section in Leviticus chapter number 14 and in verse number 33 where it's not dealing with leprosy as you and I know it. The Bible talks about a leprous house, all right? Our translation, for many, you may understand this as a moldy house or mold in the house. Whatever you want to understand it as, let's understand it as this, corruption. You'll remember last week I told you anytime you see leprosy, anytime you see lepers or anything of that nature in the Bible, it is a typology of sin. And so it is the corruption. Jesus here is speaking about the corruption that he's seen in the temple. Back in Leviticus, God was speaking about the corruption that would be found in houses of the Canaanites. Let me hurry. The Canaanites, the people, the Israel comes into the land of Canaan and they drive out the people. They kill the people of Canaan, the Canaanites, and they took over their houses. But if they were to take over their house and they were to find a situation that was dangerous to them or leprous, something that was a disease in the house or something that was corrupted in the house, they were to call the high priest. And so in Leviticus chapter number 14, we start our reading in verse number 33. And the Bible tells us in verse number 33, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when you be coming to the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, it seemeth to me that there is, as it were, a plague in the house. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest and go into it to see the plague. That all that is in the house be not made unclean. And afterward, the priest shall go in to see the house, and he shall look on the plague, and behold, if the plague be in the walls of the house with hollow strakes, greenish and red, which in sight are lower than the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again the seventh day and shall look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which the plague is, and they shall cast them into an unclean place without the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped within round about, and they shall pour out the dust that they scrape off without the city into an unclean place. And they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones, and he shall take other mortar and shall plaster the house. And if the plague come again and break out in the house, after that he had taken away the stones, and after he has scraped the house, and after it is plastered, then the priest shall come and look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the house, it is a fretting leprosy in the house, it is unclean. And he shall break down the house, the stones of it, and the timber thereof, and all the mortar of the house, and he shall carry them forth out of the city into an unclean house. I'm going to stop reading right there, unclean place. All right, so this is what would happen. God is instructing Israel that if they go into this house and they find corruption in this house, that the owner of the house is to call the priest, the high priest. The high priest is to come in. First off, he is to empty out the house. Amen. Then he is to come into the house and inspect the house. If he sees the mold and it's on the walls, he goes back out of the house. He closes up the doors for 7 days. After 7 days, he enters back into the house. If he sees the mold there, then they remove the stones. Any stone that is affected, any mortar that is affected, they remove it from the house and replace it with good stones and good mortar. They take the unclean outside the city and to an unclean place and they dispose of it. Then he goes back after doing all of this. If they find it again, they destroy the entire house. It's over. No more replacing stones. No more going through the motions of trying to cure this corruption. Is everybody all right? I hope y'all getting this. Because this is exactly what Jesus did concerning the temple. Amen. The Bible tells us Jesus instructs them that not one stone would be laid upon the other. How many of you remember the prophecy that Jesus made concerning the temple? That came true, by the way. It has already been fulfilled in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed by the Roman Empire. And by the way, every stone was removed off of its place. You want to know why? This is cool. Everybody hear me? All right. So they started a fire in there to burn everything up, and it melted the gold, and the gold ran down in the cracks through the stone. So to get all the gold out, they took every stone off of the other. Amen. Y'all ain't getting this. Y'all ain't getting it. Y'all ain't getting it. Y'all ain't woke up yet. You ain't woke up. Y'all need to stay for the 11 o'clock service. Is everybody all right? That way y'all can hear this again and it'll clamp in, all right? You'll get it this time, all right? Jesus comes in. He comes in the first time because the owner of the house said there was corruption in the house. Is everybody all right? Now, who's the owner of the house? Jesus answered it. He said, it's my Father's house. So the Father sent the Son to inspect the house, and he found corruption in the house. By the way, I got some stuff. We're going to get to it in a moment. And then he comes back at the end of his ministry, and the corruption is still there, and he prophesies that now the house must be destroyed. Oh, I know it is good. Now, you may be sitting there and going, how in the world do you tie something like that together? But I want to look at just three things. Is everybody all right? You got to hurry. We got to hurry. I want to look at three things. First off, I want to look at his authority. The reason that I want to look at his authority is because the first thing that they do is challenge his authority to do what he did. So they challenge his authority I think it's in Luke, chapter number 19. Let me check. You ain't got to turn there because I don't want to hold up your time. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Let's see. So in Luke chapter number 19, at the end of that chapter is where he comes in and he drives out those from the temple. The Bible says in verse number 45, and he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Now, chapter 20, verse number 1. And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders and spake unto him, saying, tell us by what authority doest thou these things, or who is he that gave thee this authority? Now, I ain't going to go and read all of this because Jesus wouldn't answer them because he knew how wicked they were. But if we go back to Leviticus, we understand exactly by what authority he did this. Because first off, if we go back and we look, oh man, this is getting good. Is everybody all right? We would have to go all the way back to Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 2. In Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 2, the Bible tells us, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God came down upon the earth. Is everybody all right? God made his abode or his house on the earth. It carried on through the garden. The Bible tells us that God walked with Adam when? In the cool of the day, in the Garden of Eden. He was here on the earth, the abode of God. But man sinned in the garden. Genesis chapter number 3. Man sinned in the garden. Adam was drove out of the Garden of Eden, and God set up cherubims to keep him from the tree of life, and God no longer visited with Adam. So then we fast forward to Exodus chapter number 40, and we get to Exodus chapter number 40, and we meet a man we've already met him by the time we get to Exodus 40, but we are introduced in Exodus to a man by the name of Moses. Moses delivers the children of Israel after 400 years of captivity, and he delivers them from the hands of the Egyptians, and he sets a law, the Mosaic law, and he gives Moses the blueprints for the tabernacle. In Exodus chapter number 40, the tabernacle is built. And in verse number 34, the Bible says, then a cloud covered the tent, that's the tabernacle, of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Is everybody with me? The Spirit moved on the waters. Sin came into the world. God left. Now the tabernacle is in place, and the Bible says the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses, the Bible says, was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon. It rested thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Is everybody with me? This took place, and now this is where God would meet with man. This is where God would dwell here on the earth, was in the tabernacle. David wanted to build God a temple. He wanted to build God a house. He said, I have houses, but the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord has no house. But God wouldn't allow David to build the house, so he allowed Solomon to build the temple. 46 years, the Bible says that the temple was built. And in 1 Kings chapter number 8, in verse number 10, the Bible says, and it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, this is the temple, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Then spake Solomon, the Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. I have surely built thee an house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. Is everybody all right? So God's house was the earth. Man sinned. God's house was a tabernacle. Solomon built the temple. God moved his house from the tabernacle to a settled place. The temple. Is everybody all right? Now, I know, it's a lot. It's a lot to take in. Now, we go to John chapter number 1. Because there's a new house. In John chapter number 1, in verse number 29, Miss Michelle, if you will. In John chapter number 1, in verse number 29, the Bible says, the next day John, this is John the Baptist, seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. Keep on going, if you will. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. He was born 6 months after John. Is everybody all right? John recognized him in eternity past. And the Bible said, keep going, Miss Michelle, and I knew him not. I didn't know him back then. I didn't know him before I was born. Because I'm just like y'all. I ain't nothing but a man. Are y'all getting this? He said, I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. Look at the next verse. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Amen. The Spirit moved on the water and left. The Spirit moved in the tabernacle and settled until the temple was built and left. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, comes into the temple to abode and settles a dwelling place. But now he's left because God is back. Woo! God is back. Now stay with me. Verse number 33. Look at this verse. Keep going, Miss Michelle. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Amen. All right, next verse, verse number 34. And the Bible says, And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Amen. There's a new dwelling place. God himself, God in the flesh, is dwelling among men. God is no longer settled on the temple. He's no longer abiding in the temple. Now Jesus is walking the house of God. This vessel, Jesus is this temple. And Jesus understood that he was this temple. Jesus understood it because in John chapter number 2, I know I'm carrying y'all all over the place, but in John chapter number 2, Jesus, I ain't going to go to it. But in John chapter number 2, Jesus, when he comes into the temple, he lets them know that he is the temple now. Matter of fact, they said it like this. Jesus said, tear down this temple and 3 days I'll build it back. And they said, have you lost your mind? It took 46 years to build this temple, and you say if it be torn down, you'll build it back in 3 days? But the Bible said Jesus was speaking of his body. Jesus understood now, I need somebody to help me, that the Spirit of God, God himself, he was God. It was no longer in the temple. That temple was done away with. God had moved off of that temple. Now Jesus, that's good. I don't care who you are. So what authority did he have to come in there? He was God. That's what authority he had. He was God. Amen. He had all the authority in the world to come into his house and inspect it. So we see his authority. Number two, we see his inspection. He walks in. All right, the Bible says in Leviticus, the Bible told us that it was the owner of the house that had to initiate this. So God the Father, the owner of the house, Jesus said, this is my Father's house. Come on, y'all, help me now. Jesus said, this is my Father's house. So the owner of the house initiated the inspection. Jesus, the high priest. According to Hebrews, Jesus is our high priest. And now our high priest walks in to the Father's house, the owner's house, and he looks around and he inspects it and he finds corruption. He finds corruption in the house because man's religion has turned something that was pure into something to make money, into something that was unpure, something that was wrong, something that was polluted, something that was corrupted. And Jesus come in with a zeal for his Father's house, so much so it ate him up, and he pulls out, makes a whip, and starts whipping people. Because it was his Father's house and there shouldn't have been any corruption in it. Oh man. And then, if that wasn't good enough, those stones that needed replacing, Jesus replaced. He no longer, the world, the religion, salvation was no longer dependent upon a priest that ministered in the temple. It was no longer dependent upon priests and their rituals and ceremonies every single day. Jesus was replacing those stones. He was replacing what was corrupt with something that was pure. He started off by replacing all of those priests with some disciples. And Lord knows, we know they weren't pure. I need somebody to help me. But the fulfillment of all of this came at the cross when Jesus, our high priest, entered into the tabernacle which is in heaven and presented his precious blood to God Almighty, and his wrath was stayed on man. And now through Jesus Christ, you and I can find salvation. The religion has been replaced. The priest has been replaced. The ceremonies have been replaced. The sacrifices have been replaced. For this man once and for all has offered up his own blood for you and I and is set down by the Father in the tabernacle which is in heaven. And it is finished. Jesus had all authority and he had the right to come in and inspect the temple. And then his declaration, we see his authority, we see his inspection, but we see his declaration. He comes in and he tells them that this house, the second time he comes in, he clears them all out, and the day after he declares that not one stone will be stood upon the other. In other words, this is what Jesus was saying. The corruption is too deep. It can't be fixed. It can't be replaced here on earth. There's something that has to be done that only God and the owner of the house can do. And that is to destroy the temple and to rebuild. Everybody all right? You're not going to be. Say, preacher, how does this apply to us? I'm glad you asked. Because the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and in verse number 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? I ain't finished yet. Michelle, get that thing up there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 16. They need to see it. They wouldn't believe me if I just said it. They wouldn't believe me. They wouldn't believe me if I just said it. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and in verse number 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Everybody help me read this last part. And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Woo! Started off, the Spirit moved upon the water. Moved into the tabernacle. Moved into the temple. On to Jesus. And now, you and I are the temple of God. The dwelling place of God here on earth. We're the dwelling place. And God has every right to inspect us. Oh, I need somebody to help me. He has all authority. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 9. He has all authority when it comes to mine and your house. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Everybody help me read this part right here. Ye are God's building. Ooh. The owner of the house has the authority to check the house. You are the house. I am the house. God owns the house. It's God's building. And He has the authority to walk into mine and your life and take a look around and see if there is any corruption. Oh yeah, He has a right to inspect it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and in verse number 13, Miss Michelle. He has a right to inspect it. Every man's work shall be made manifest. In other words, God is going to take a look into mine and your life. He's going to look into His house. He's going to look at His building and He is going to reveal what is good and what ain't. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Amen. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. There is coming a day, listen to me, where God is going to inspect His house. He has all authority to do that. Let's keep reading. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, verse number 17. Miss Michelle, if you'll go down to that. The Bible tells us in verse number 17. When we get there, in verse number 17, I can't be mad at her because she's my wife. I live with her. I sleep next to her with my eyes closed. She's a light sleeper. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Not one stone left upon the other. Amen. For the temple of God is holy. Just in case you didn't know what the temple was. Amen. Which temple? Ye are. Question this morning. If God, the Father, sent Jesus for a surprise inspection, what corruption would be found in our house today? Oh, we just thought Jesus was playing around till He got to the cross. Nope, fig tree ties in too. Because the fig tree had leaves and it looked like it had fruit.
That's right.
But Brother Johnny, it didn't.
Amen.
There's a lot of Christians today that have leaves. They have leaves. They profess a salvation. But there's no fruit.
Amen.
They profess, Dalton, come on. They profess salvation. They profess that God has done a work in them. But the Bible says when God does a work in us, he indwells us.
That's right.
And some of us are living like God ain't nowhere around us.
Amen.
Is everybody all right? They some that have made a profession because they prayed at a time or they did this at a time back in their life way back then. They had an emotional experience and they're saying that's when they got saved. They're saying I seen an angel or I seen this or I seen that. But there's no evidence. I need somebody to help me. I remember we got to North Augusta, South Carolina and me and the kid, we moved in to a house there, and Preacher Brown, he found two stray dogs. One of them was black. He'd been shot. Preacher named him Bullet. And how that dog didn't die, I'll never know, because Preacher fed him a Snickers bar every day. Is everybody all right? I'm like, Preacher, you're going to kill the dog. They're allergic. I mean, it's like poison. Chocolate's like poison. He said, he made it through a bullet. Dog outlived us all. Somebody help me. But he had another dog with him. His name was Jet. Jet was brown and white and black. Preacher sent him over to my house because he knew I had three kids. And he knew that as soon as those kids seen that dog, they're going to want that dog. So this is how it all ended up. Preacher sent you a coon dog because he knew I was a coon hunter. He knew to appeal to me, he had to tell me something that would get me to let the dog out the car long enough for the kids to see it. So they show up at the house and they drop out this dog and it won't no hound. Is everybody all right? This was a Heinz 57 sure enough mutt. Is everybody all right? He popped out of that car and I knew, because I've been around some coon dogs, I knew. That ain't one of them. But guess what happened? They were three youngins running around. Oh, Daddy, can we have the dog? Please don't let the dog die. If he leaves the house, they're going to make dog food out of him. Please let him stay. He may have looked like a coon dog to some, but there was no evidence. He may have looked like a coon dog to some, but there was absolutely no evidence that he was a coon dog. There's a lot of Christians that they looked apart.
Amen.
From the outside, those that know no better, they can look and they say, boy, that sure looks like a Christian. But if Jesus showed up this morning, said, I got a warrant. I'm going to come in and inspect the house. I'm going to go through every drawer. I'm going to go through every nook. I'm going to go through every piece of furniture. I'm going to go in every closet. I wonder what he'd find in our house. And I ain't talking about your physical house. I care less what you got at your house. We are the temple. We are God's house. We are God's building. This is what I'm talking about. Get your mind off of your closet where you got all of it hid. Get your mind off, get your mind off the drawer where you got it all hid. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a little thing in there beats and gives us life. What's in it? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. What's in it? Our actions come from right here. What's in it? What's in it? Heads bowed with me. Find a place around the altar. Get your house right. Get your house right. I ain't talking about the one at the house. I ain't talking about your physical house. Let's get our house right. If he was to inspect us today, what would he find? Nobody's looking around. If he was to expect today, are you his house? Are you saved? I didn't say, Do you profess to be saved? I didn't ask, do you think you're saved? Need everybody to hear me. I didn't ask if you think you're saved. I'm asking a real question. Are you His? The Bible says that ye are the temple. If you are saved, God lives in you. You know. Paul said, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Do you know what's in you? If you're sitting here this morning and say, preacher, I'm just going to be honest. If I died right now, I do not know. I profess to be a Christian. I've had the look of it. I've even had the actions of it. But if I was honest with you this morning, if I was honest with God this morning, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. If that's you this morning, I want you to do me a favor and just lift your hand up. Just high enough for me to see it. Nobody else is looking around. I'm not going to embarrass you or come to you. If that's you this morning, I want to help you get it settled. I want to help you today leave out of here knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you died today, you would go to heaven. But you got to be honest with yourself. You got to be honest with God. Is that you this morning? Raise your hand up. I want you to listen. Dalton's going to sing this song, Bring It to the Table. If you got something you need to deal with, invitation's still open. As Dalton sings, Bring It to the Table.
Hear the voice of love that's calling. There's a chair that waits for you. And a friend who understands everything you're going through. But you keep standing at a distance. The shadow of your shame. There's a light of hope that's shining. Won't you come and take your place? And bring it all to the table. There's nothing here. Ain't seen before. All your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness. There's a Savior and He calls. Bring it all to the table. He can see the weight you've been carrying. Those fears that hold your heart. But through the cross you've been forgiven. You're accepted as you are. So bring it all to the table. There's nothing He ain't seen before. All your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness. There's a Savior and He calls. Bring it all to the table. You can bring it all. You can. Come on in, take your place. There's there's no one who's turned away. All you sinners and all you saints, come right in, you'll find a place. Bring it all to the table. There's nothing he ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior when he calls. Bring it all to the table.
Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for our time together in your word, our time together with one another in worship. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name we take what we heard, Lord, apply it to our lives, leaving out of here knowing that we are your temple. We are your house. God, you have the authority and the right to inspect us. Lord, I pray that you be able to look at our lives and what we have built upon it, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Be able to look upon it and say that it is good, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If any corruption be in us, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd reveal it. Lord, I pray that we do our part, getting the high priest involved and removing it from our house. Lord, through the forgiveness that's offered in the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.